Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with peers, pals, and Weird Al. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul and Philly. Let's get big factin', let's get big capping. No capping. I am your captain.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Did any of you guys have a media roundup?
I had some shit. I did a bunch of shit this weekend. Let's see. I had a musing. Do you guys want to hear a musing?
No, I bring those in.
What's the deal? Why do mandolins have the worst PR team? Anytime you watch a cooking video where someone uses a mandolin, they're like, you will use this and you will die, but it's worth doing it to make sure you have thinly sliced vegetables. I don't know. It seems like crazy. Like, I've never hurt myself using a mandolin. I think it's okay.
Are you careful with it, or do you use the little gripper that comes with them when you buy them to attach it to
the... I'm just careful with it, and I'm okay with wasting some veg. You know what I mean? I don't got to take it all the way down.
Is a mandolin not a string instrument? What is a mandolin?
It is, but a mandolin's also like a...
Oh, I see now. I guess it's like a slicer.
Yeah. Anytime someone on YouTube uses one, they're like, they act like you're going to die if you use it.
What I will say is I don't think I've ever gotten close to injuring myself, but sometimes you are using it and you're like, I'm in such a groove. I could see how if I did this every day. Baby. If I was doing this every day, all day, I could see eventually... Just kind of, because you do it a cucumber, I zone out, man. I'm just on beat then. I'm like,
well, yeah, because you put the first two slices over your eyes, like you're relaxing, and then you're just doing the rest of the cucumber.
Yeah, and I'm making a cucumber tea sandwich, so I also use the cream cheese as like face cream.
Let's see.
I'm like, I am relaxed, baby.
I had a moment a few nights ago where I was at a bar and someone did they weren't doing a Bart from The Simpsons calling Moe's thing, but I didn't realize that it was a real thing that sometimes people call a bar and like, are like, is this person here? And the bartender goes around and says, do you guys know Cynthia Lopez? Is there a Cynthia Lopez here? And I was like, this is a thing? They actually just like are looking for somebody? What's going on?
How long did you try to make Cynthia Lopez work as a Bart Simpson joke?
I was
name?
Like,
you're
wait,
like,
what's the play there?
See in the
Lopez. Is there anyone from Bosnia here? Anyone from Bosnia?
Yeah, he just really wants to do the Bosnia joke, the bartender.
I went to go watch a movie at the Dreamland yesterday. We're all going to the World's Fair, the directorial debut of the person who did I Saw the TV Glow. She has her new movie coming out next month. Kind of a interesting movie. You can see the through line stylistically. The biggest thing was going out and talking about it afterwards and Ethan being like, yeah, I really, really liked that movie. I really connected with it on a personal level. And Alex and I were like, that kind of piece of shit, right? That movie kind of sucked, right? So I kind of felt bad because I was kind of making a lot of jokey comments. And then lastly, I went to go see some stand-up comedy on Friday. Very killer set from every comedian. My only complaint, and I guess this is colored by my education, I really hated the animal behavior jokes. One guy did the... I used to live out in the woods, and mountain lions were always out at night, and they just yell. That's how they try and find mates, is they just yell out at night. Could you imagine if humans did that? What if that was what I... And I was like, come on, dude. Everything else was so good until this hacky-ass bit. And then one of the other dudes was like one of those, like, I smoke weed and watch nature documentaries. I saw this thing about these roundworms. They fight with their penises, and if you lose, you get impregnated by the other worm. Could you imagine if that's how humans... And I was like, no, come on. Everything else was fine until this bit. This bit sucks. So I guess it's just colored by my like experience. I don't know why. I think that is just a terrible premise and joke. I really hate those jokes.
I wish there was a comedian that was like, isn't it crazy that dung beetles roll up their feces into like big balls? Wouldn't that be crazy if humans did that? Because I definitely don't do that.
I don't do that.
But wouldn't it be crazy if clear. I did do that?
Did you know the praying mantis eats her partner after they copulate? Ladies, I wish you could do that.
He literally did that bit afterwards, yeah.
Oh, really? Nice. Yeah. I bet there's some women in here who wish they could murder their fucking husband.
I know, my girl gets hungry after we do it.
How about except for the Beatles, it's the Dung Beatles.
As a band?
I think
or?
It'll go a little something like this. Hey, Poots.
Poo.
Here comes
don't
my
be
poop.
All liquidy.
Here comes my dung.
Anyways, that's all I got. Phil, what'd you get into? What'd you do?
I watched Susan Boyle's first audition for Britain's Got Talent. That was the big piece of media I watched.
Did you cry?
I cried laughing about how horrible all that audience is and all the judges were, because she comes out and they're already laughing at her because, like, I guess she's just not conventionally attractive, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to sing, and they're like, all right, let's see what you got, you fucking pig. And they're all like literally laugh, like there's not one person that's like, okay, yeah, let's see what she has. Like, all the judges are just laughing at her, and like they even, like, you know, they show like little cuts of the audience, you know, every now and then. So they show this one cut of the audience member after she said I was gonna sing, and she just looked at her friend like, all right. And then obviously after the first notes, everybody's like, this is an ugly woman is swizzing and good. This is remarkable. And then after the audition, Pierce was like, you proved all of us wrong. And I'm like, and everybody clapped. And it's like, y'all are horrible people.
I mean, Pierce Morgan is a terrible person.
He's a terrible person. Simon was the only one that was funny about it, because I guess, like, I don't know, he was still a shitty person in it. But after the judges said yes, when he was last, he was like, I knew from the second you got on stage, you were going to be great. And everybody laughed and was like, this is still a fucked up joke. Like, y'all were just laughing at a woman who was not like your typical pop star image, I guess. And
Well, Simon understood how those shows work. Either you put a beautiful person up there to fail or an ugly person up there to succeed, but it doesn't work if you don't have the juxtaposition.
I would love it. They just like laugh at literally everybody, no matter what they look like, when they said they have a talent. They're like, all right. Every time they're like, you proved all was wrong. I watched Donnie Brasco, which is like it's a crime movie based on like true events, where like this FBI agent was undercover and he went by Donnie Brasco. And it's like Johnny Depp plays Donnie Brasco, and Al Pacino plays like one of his good friends in the mafia. And it's a really good movie. I think that's like my new favorite like subgenre of films, where it's like,
wait,
crime.
He's not like Donnie Skinny Legs Brasco or anything like that. He doesn't have like a little mafia nickname.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he had a nickname. But Al Pacino's nickname was Lefty. I don't know where that came. I guess he was left-handed or something. But yeah, it's like my new favorite subgenre of movies, where it's just like movies based on like real events, like from the mafia or whatever, like based on their true stories, and they try to reenact it. And then just listening to interviews of real people that were in those families be like, that was all bullshit, like none of that happened, and just try to like get what like really happened. But also, I will say this about Johnny Depp. Almost every movie I see him in, I don't know it's Johnny Depp until I look it up. He looks so different in most movies. To me, he does.
Ooh, a real chameleon. Okay. You thought he was a pirate, for real.
Yeah. And then I listened to Never Say Die, an album by PFG, which stands for Pretty Face Gangster. J. Cole produced the whole entire album, so that's why I wanted to listen to it.
Executive produced or like made the beats?
No, he made the beats. And he was featured on like four of the songs. My favorite song from the album is Twins Forever. It's him and, so he does one, and then he does a remix
Twins.
At the end with J. Cole.
Twins.
Forever twins.
I wanna be.
You know, I'm definitely gonna have the opportunity to one day as a famous rapper, but I would never let J. Cole feature on my album after what he said. Of his whole thing is that if you feature on his album, that makes his album stupid, bad, and you shouldn't use features. Why would you let J. Cole feature on your album?
But also, he kind of has like the point of view a lot of rappers do, to be like, oh, if you feature me, you're gonna get ethered, you know, I'm gonna have the better verse. So if, like, I would have him feature, and then like after a few bars, if they're like getting really good, I'll be like, all right, stop, and then I come back in. I would mess up the cut the beat. Cut the verse.
You just turn up the high end on there so they sound squeaky and high pitched and girly, no matter how good their verse is.
Yeah. And then at the end of the verse, be like, yo, was that a girl rapping?
What was that, man?
So what was that about, y'all? Anyway, let's get back to that real shit. just ad-lib their verse the whole time. Be like, I wrote that bar. Yeah, I wrote that one too. I wrote this whole verse, actually. Just interrupting him the whole time.
I did the reference track. This is my flow. Phil, do you want to reply? Do you have a rebuttal? Your rebuttal game crazy for my brother? Because my brother apparently uses AI for help on his outfits, and you were coming at people who use AI for help on their outfits. So I don't know if you want to squash this beef or if you want to go down this road.
Listen, I don't want any smoke with George's?
George, you don't pronounce the S, but yes, it's there.
Well, first off, fix that, George, all right? No, I'm kidding. Let's see. I use ChatGPT to see if my clothes match. Tell Phil. I know how mad he is because he's sending this in all four separate texts. These emotions were coming out as he was texting. I don't know what colors match, and it helps. I've also seen the way he dresses, and okay, that's what I want to know. Where have you seen me dress, George? Because I can't rebuttal until you...
I've sent him your TikToks and your rap battles.
All right, listen, I'll take this L then. I don't have the best outfits ever.
I think you dress nice. I don't think that was a fair criticism.
You know what? I think George is fair. He has a fair point because right now I am wearing a shirt that says the pandemic isn't over, and just because you said it's over, and I don't like, I don't know what it really means.
Is that the one that you?
Where did you get that lib shirt?
Yeah, you finessed it from Sam, right?
When Sam moved to New York, they were selling like a lot of their clothes, and I went to like their yard sale, and I was like, oh, this shirt's funny. I want to wear this out. But that's the thing. I would also wear like an anti-vax shirt. Like, I it's not that I like, you know.
I know your dog's an anti-vaxxer.
That's the thing. So, all right. Well, let's talk about the theme. Parody music. Parody music. What are y'all's opinions of parody music versus original comedy music? I'm not going to say it because I have a biased opinion, obviously. But
original comedy. Oh.
Like Lonely Island versus Weird Al.
Oh, I'm more of a Lonely Island fan, for sure. I've never gotten into Weird Al.
You know, it's interesting. I got burned CDs of Weird Al's discography in like 7th grade from one Mr. Sean Sprott. He was very big on Weird Al, so he gave me those CDs. I listened to them. I was pretty big into it for a while.
What, do you remember your favorites?
Oh, Stuck in the Drive-Thru is a great one.
What's that? You got to tell us the parody because I don't know. Like,
no, Trapped in the Drive-Thru is a Trapped in the Drive-Thru, which is a parody off of Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've listened.
My advice column I brought in was Weird Al's like Q&A from his website, and he does talk about like sometimes it's more a parody of a genre. Like it'll be like a generic, like I'm just trying to sound like the B-52s, but it's not like him ripping off a song and changing the lyrics.
One of my big things with parody music is that like it annoys me if they don't like not necessarily rhyme the chorus exactly how it's supposed to flow and stuff like that. But when they don't rhyme, that's one thing. But also when they don't rhyme nor flow with the same melody of the original song, it's like, what are you even? You're just using the instrumental at this point and using a theme that's way off topic. It's like, for example, like Trapped in the Closet versus Trapped in the Drive-Thru. It's like all he had to do is replace closet with drive-thru, and then the verses are like he's rapping the same way R. Kelly raps on Trapped in the Closet, like with like long sentences and storytelling, and like that it makes so much sense for that parallel.
Other parody artists?
So there's Weird Al, Garfunkel and Oates doesn't do parody, do they?
Kind of. I guess we are kind of blending the two genres now, aren't we?
I think we should, because other than Weird Al, who else does straight up parody songs?
Yeah, because even then, like, I think like the SNL, like, those are usually genre-ish or like, yeah.
You know, a lot of comedy clubs will do like parody music night where the comedians will try to write a parody song off of like a hot pop song at the moment. Like the Idiot Box does that in Greensboro. And I've seen a few where like, damn, these are really good. And like usually comedians get the assignment where like, oh, you have to stick with this stencil like of the, you know what I mean, of the song. And it is, it's a very funny and cool art. Yeah, I can't think of too many other like actual like famous parody artists. Like Weird Al is just kind of like the guy for that. You know what I mean? Like, and he's so good at it too.
Because like if a YouTube video of someone doing 21 styles of rapping isn't parodying. That's just doing imitation.
Yeah, impressions almost. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more of an impression. Okay. Yeah.
I guess the people now who are doing what Weird Al did, nobody does a full song anymore because that's not how you do it. You just do like a little TikTok joke where you kind of like parody the hook. That would be like the modern version.
One of the biggest parody artists is Nick Mullen, right?
Yeah, that is true.
He does do a lot.
But when you really think about it.
Weird Al came up with a new concept for every song. Nick Mullen is just always about tiny penises
and being gay.
It's funny you mentioned that because this week I sent Coleman the White Stripes parody that Nick Mullen did on Pod for the Seven Nation Army. And like,
oh, yeah?
he even texted me like a few days later and like a lyric from that parody. And I was like, yeah, dude, it's once you hear it, you can't hear the original song the same.
Oh, I don't know if I want that ruined for me. That's funny.
Bro, it is so fucking funny.
It's, I mean, like, it's definitely influenced my humor. Like sometimes I'll just look at Pierce when we're at the bar and I'll be like, what if we built this city on cock and balls? And he's like, I like that. Let's keep working on that.
That's a full night. We're doing this for the next 5 hours.
I mean, fame. Okay. I was
God forbid
famously.
We ever go to a Chinese Airbnb.
I was just about to say that. Okay. Yeah. So I guess the listeners who, I don't know if we ever mentioned that on pod, but when we went to Chicago.
I don't think
we don't have to explain the whole story. We don't have to.
I think a little bit of background is okay. But like, anyway, our Airbnb was Chinese, and just us being us, we're like, oh, we have to do parody songs like from the minute we walk in. And it was even like weeks after we were still sending each other songs over text. I don't like, we probably had hundreds of parody songs that weekend somehow. Like, that was most of our there was one point where we were singing a song, I think, about the Chinese Airbnb, and an Uber was picking us up, and like Drake was like crying. I think we were all kind of crying. We got in this Uber and we're all just crying because we had some funny song about the Chinese Airbnb. And the only two things I think we talked about it, besides that, as Chinese, is that
take your shoes off,
and that Adrian peed in the sink. But then even Drake extended it to like other pop culture references, and he spoofed The Wire when he was like, hey, come at the sink, you best not piss. He just texted us that one day.
Oh my God.
I can't think of too many of the parody songs we did because we did like thousands of them, but
I did like a Taylor Swift, like You Belong With Me. I remember that one. And then I did a Chapel Roan one. It was the now I'm knee deep in the Airbnb, and I swear it's Chinese. Do I take my shoes off?
I remember it was like, it was kind of around the same time that Kendrick dropped his Euphoria track. And then like weeks later, I pulled up the instrumental because I was like, I got to have the instrumental for this if I send the boys this.
That was high effort.
Part where the beat stops. When I think he says, don't say no lies about me, and I won't tell truths about you. I was like, don't make your Airbnb Chinese, and I won't make you take off your shoes.
Shoes. Airbnb.
It's fun making
Anyways,
parody
what
music.
What kind of parody songs have you done, Paul?
I annoy Izzy all the time with protest chants, where that I make the protest about Izzy.
Oh, yeah.
I just make it, we're protesting her.
Izzy, you can't hide.
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Did you do those at protest? Like when people were chanting?
No, not at the protest. Kind of like on the walk home. I'd be doing the chants, but I'd be protesting Izzy.
That's so funny.
Not another dollar, not another dime, till Isabel stops committing war crimes.
There's a great Comedy Bang Bang character played by Carl Tart, Pants the Rapper. It's Chance the Rapper's older cousin who does exclusively covers, pants-related covers of Chance the Rapper songs. So one of his songs is Same Pants. It's about how we don't wear the same pants anymore. It's a really funny character.
I had one for, Tomorrow Quest once, where it was John Legend, but it was Yawn Legend. So he was like,
oh.
All of me.
That's really good.
That's really funny.
I think I made it up because Patrick was singing John Legend, and I was like, motherfucker, sound like John Legend over here. I don't know. I think parody music really does hit, though. Do you think it's one of those things, though, where like once you hear it once, it doesn't have a lot of replay value?
Yeah, I think that's why it works with Nick Mullen on a podcast or as a TikTok, because I don't know if listening to the full Weird Al songs ever did much for me. And so it's like, you really can just kind of, these are throwaway ideas, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. I still think that that Seven Nation Army parody that he did so much more than the original. I'll send it to you. The song's going to be ruined, but it's so good.
Do you have big opinions about the artistic merit of parody songs? Do you guys have any fun stories? Do you guys know any of the fun facts about like Weird Al getting the license to do the songs or the permission or whatever? Is that a thing where he doesn't have to get permission, but he likes to? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it would be covered under parody.
Yeah, like a lot of people are honored to have it Weird Al covered or whatever.
I don't have like strong opinions when it comes to like the originality of making parody or the creative effort when it comes to making parody music. Because there is like, it's still like you have to figure out what makes a good parody song, you know, like the whole rhyming, the flowing, and being musically talented in some sense, you know. But I think I do prefer just original comedy music over parody music, because I think it's more, it takes more of a creative effort. But I will say the movie Weird, that Weird Al had about like his life.
The parody movie?
The parody, that was incredible. And there was a lot of just like unique creative scenes where it's like, you can't call this guy, like, he doesn't put in effort or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, it was such a funny movie to where I was like, yeah, I want to, like, because I watched the movie thinking it was going to be some, like, kind of boring, kind of funny documentary about his real life. And it was like, oh, all of this is lies, but it's so fucking funny. Like, God damn. Yeah. Have you seen it, Paul?
Yeah, I haven't. But I feel like the thing about Weird Al is, like, even though it's not for me, I don't have a problem with Weird Al. You know what I'm saying? He seems like a very positive force.
Oh, he's
definitely
a very, like, wholesome chungus celebrity to like. So he's definitely got that going for him.
And he was really funny on Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah, he was great. Honestly, hot take, Kid Cudi, kind of bad at improvising music.
Yeah, he was really, he's good at improv, though. Like, when they were talking back and forth with the guest. That was one of my favorite bits they did when that guy came in and said he cheated in, like, the bike competitions by using a motorcycle.
I'm not surprised.
And at one point, he was like, you remember when I played baseball? And then Kid Cudi's like, I have all your cards. I have all your cards.
I have all your cards.
Yeah. Afion Crockett did, like, a few parody songs that were really good. Y'all know who that is?
Who the hell is that?
Afion Crockett, he was on Wild and Out for a while, but he's just like a stand-up comedian. He was like on the original cast of Wild and Out, but he had this for Run This Town. He did except for Run, Who's Gonna Run This Town Tonight? Who's Gonna Hunt Chris Brown Tonight? So that was pretty good.
And yeah, then that he sounds did like one, a whole song right there.
But he's really good at impressions, so it made the parody song even better. But yeah, his Jay-Z is very good. Run This Town and Headlines, he's moved. All right, any more thoughts before we get into the first art?
No, Eichel. I think let's get to the art Eichel. So here we go. I already sent it to you guys. This is a new column that I'm bringing in from gettinghitched.com. They have an advice column that we're going to be doing from Mel Majmet from November 5th, 2020. I want to walk down the aisle to something unconventional, and I'm worried people will judge me. Here we go. I want to walk down the aisle to something that will make people laugh. I'm not a serious person, and I'd much prefer to walk down to the Imperial March from Star Wars and make my friends giggle than something stuffy and serious like Here Comes the Bride or Green Sleeves. I also don't like being the center of attention. I know it's a bit unavoidable at a wedding, but I feel like playing something funny will make me feel better about the whole thing. When I mentioned entering to a funny song to my mom, she immediately shot it down. She said it would be all anyone would remember of the day, and if I was worried about drawing attention, an unconventional song would draw more scrutiny than something traditional. My boyfriend thinks the Imperial March idea is funny, and he's happy for me to walk to whatever I want, but he did agree with my mum that people will talk about it and judge it because it's not traditional, while they probably won't notice a traditional song. I'm not sure what to do. I don't like the idea of my mum's family judging my wedding right from the entrance music, but I do want to hear something that means something to me rather than something generic as I walk down the aisle. All right, boys, we get to talk about walkout music. What would you guys do?
Ooh, walkout music. She could do the intro song bit that I do to where like it.
Oh, yeah. About how you don't respect women.
You don't respect women. But that it's weird because she doesn't want to draw attention, but it's like either way she leans, she's going to draw attention. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean? If she goes traditional. I know Here Comes the Bride. What is Green Sleeves? Do you guys know that?
Green Sleeves? Let me listen to it.
Play a little bit of that.
You hear it?
Turn my headphones up. Give me a word.
Yeah. I mean, your word is Gaza.
No. No. No, I'm not rapping about
Gaza.
DJ,
we got Adrian in the booth. He's about to tell y'all what's been on his mind recently. Go. Sorry, he's a little choked up right now thinking about the whole situation.
I am, man.
Gangster Grazeel. Okay, because if you go down a traditional song or like any song without lyrics, which is most like walkout music for brides at weddings, then
either that or Chris Brown. What song does he do that people like to do down the wedding aisle?
I think that's more of like a reception thing when they walk out together.
Oh, okay,
right?
gotcha.
But yeah. Either way, if you go down like a piano song, some traditional wedding song, nobody's going to be listening to lyrics, so they're just going to be looking at you with some beautiful music playing in the background. It's just going to emphasize that moment. If you go down a song that's kind of funny or sticks out, then they're just going to remember oh, she chose the song.
Yeah, to me, I get this impulse because I'm also like a very nervous person with attention being on me and I want to cut tension. But I think sometimes, like a wedding, the moment calls for just overcoming that fear and doing the traditional thing because it's something everybody's going to remember.
You could compromise and do a piano version of a song that you like that's unconventional.
Yeah.
We're like, if people understand the melody, they're like, oh, wait, is that song?
That's a good point, because then they won't think too much about you and be like, oh, that was a cool choice, and they'll just like be focused on that song, yeah.
But, I mean, obviously she should do what makes her happy, but I'd see why her mom is pushing back on it. I think you should think about that really hard. Like, it might be one of those moments where just doing the, not mature thing, but doing the serious thing, you'll look back on it more fondly, potentially.
Paul actually brings that back to maybe one of my main points, which is that it's your wedding and fuck what anybody says about it, so do whatever you want is also probably my biggest advice.
I mean, yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, it's not your mom's wedding now. If she's helping you pay for it, maybe that's a little something, you know?
I'll do whatever if she's helping me pay for it.
For real.
No, I agree. At the end of the day, do what you want, but I think this is feedback you should listen to and think about seriously. I don't think this is flippant feedback. I think it makes sense, and it's not her being a momzilla or something. Maybe you should just do the regular thing, unless you really think about it and don't want to.
She plays a very, very short song, so she just has to walk down the aisle really fast.
I think they should do the thing from The Office. What was it? And they all dance silly.
Yeah, that's the Chris Brown song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Phil, what hip-hop instrumental would you walk out to if you had to pick an instrumental?
I would play the piano instrumental to WAP.
Because, wait, for your bride or for you?
Both. And the flower girl.
You're going to go with a song that starts with, there's some whores in this house.
Yeah, we both walk down to serious music and then play, WAP for the flower girl and flower boy.
And then on our way out, sorry for party rocking.
The part where she says it means something to her. The Imperial March means something to her.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, she's like a Star Wars fan, you know?
Her and her husband met on Tatooine.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, like, okay, it really is her wedding. You can do whatever you want, really, but it's
you
like...
You can do whatever you like.
Do whatever you like. I know the kid, like, for the flower girl and flower boy for my wedding, I would want them to walk down to, with the kids of America, whoa.
What about your beer boy, your beer girl?
Beer boy is,
What did you walk to when you did that? Oh, that's what Phil did at Keegan's wedding.
Yeah, I handed out beer to people, It was nice. So they didn't have a flower girl or flower boy. They just had people like just hand out beers and walk down the aisle. So,
I mean, that's pretty untraditional. There you go.
And was that the only thing you remembered from the night, Phil?
Yeah, because I had all those beers that I handed out.
That's the only thing I didn't remember.
I didn't hand them out, and I took them right back and put them in the basket. And they're like, hold up.
Every time I handed out, I was like, yoink, I'm taking that back. I had a piece of string attached to it.
Yes.
I would use one of those like sticky hands to get it back. Yoink.
That is true. Yeah, if you just have like your beer boys or flower girl and flower boy do enough bits, they're going to remember that more than they remember you. So let's see some sticky hands.
The Imperial March is the bam, 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 bam. That means good walking music.
It kind of is implying you're evil, which.
I mean, that guy's losing his life that day. Here goes the rest of his life.
How about the Jaws theme song?
And
you have little shark fins and like little swimmies on.
That's pretty good.
Okay, we can't just choose her song. She wants to know, should I go with the traditional one or this funny one, which would cause less attention and kind of appease my mom?
Well, I think the non-traditional song just gives her more confidence. I think there's two ways to do it. Is less attention or be more confident when you're walking out.
Perfect. Okay, so you play traditional music, but you have AirPods in, and you're listening to the Star Wars
show. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Great compromise. We're talking about compromise, pretty easy compromise. Beat switch. Halfway through.
What do you start with Here Comes the Bride and then switch to Imperial March?
Wait, it switches to the Euphoria beat?
Everyone calls her husband a pedophile. Yeah.
I think you guys were right originally. It's like, if you do this, you need a piano cover of a song or a piano song. It's horns, just, it doesn't feel right.
I think a piano cover of a song that's funny or cool to you, that's a great idea. Because... Yeah, it's like what Adrian said. They're going to notice kind of in the back of their head. Be like, oh, wait, that's
if you
that.
Know, you know.
If you know, you know.
Yeah, but if you Imperial March is horns, right? That's just like, that's, I don't know. There's something about it that just, it's like too wrong. But once again, if you think about it and you're like, no, this is me, this is what I want, I don't know, do it. Who really cares?
Yeah, Walk to Kim by Eminem.
Walk to Stan by Eminem and just stare at your husband as if he's Stan. Seeing the Eminem parts, and then when Stan's rapping, you just like stare at your husband like...
Is this the one where your dad walks you? Is that what the tradition is?
Yeah, the dad walks the bride.
So he should be dressed as Darth Vader. All right, should I go ahead and read the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's a little bit long. It's actually very long. How do I keep doing this? I gotta stop bringing in these columns. All right, let's see. I'm a firm believer that your wedding day should be your wedding day, filled with details that reflect your style, your hobbies, your humor, and your personality. But I know it's one thing to say you should do whatever makes you comfortable, and another to always feel comfortable with unconventional choices. Your guest list can't always be filled with just the people who love you most. As much as I like to say you should never have anyone at your wedding who judge you for breaking tradition and putting your own spin on things, families can be a lot more complicated than that. You sometimes have to invite those judgmental aunts or weird cousins or great step uncles you've never gotten along with. Leaving them out would cause far more drama and suffering than saying a quick hi and bye on the day. Gossip will gossip regardless. Even if you had the least controversial wedding in the world, if you wore a nondescript wedding outfit and decorated everything in a nondescript wedding theme, and played nondescript music and followed every wedding tradition to a T, these people may still find something to gossip about. You can't control what other people think, and some people on your guest list might, well, think some of your decisions are weird, or tacky, or too expensive, or too cheap, or too something else. The question is, how much do you care? How much do you care what other people think? I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. Ask yourself, do you care what these people think of you? If they judge your wedding, will it bother you? Bear in mind, it's unlikely that you would even know one way or another. Most people have enough tact and understanding of social cues to know not to march up to the bride and tell her taste in music is duff. They know enough not even to use a backhanded compliment like interesting or unusual. I didn't get the impression from your letter that your family were abusive or overtly cruel. They're not going to tell you if they hated it. Your guests won't judge your choices the way you imagine they will. But outside of reality TV shows, guests don't tend to sit and rate things at a wedding. People don't tend to sit and rate things at all. They're more focused on themselves than what other people are doing. Eleanor Roosevelt said it best. You wouldn't worry so much about what others think of you if you realized how seldom they do. Your guests aren't going to be carefully analyzing every choice you made for your wedding. When I got married, I had a bit of a joke reading at my ceremony. My niece read the lyrics to I Would Walk 500 Miles by the Proclaimers. She made it sound like a proper reading at first, though people cottoned on by the da-da-das and started chuckling. As we signed our marriage certificate, we played the acoustic version of that song. When I planned it all out, I thought that that would make people laugh. I thought people would react right away and when they heard the start of the song, but no one even noticed. And then, let's see, okay. Oh, hey, this is kind of funny. Let's read this section. People might not even get your geeky references to be able to judge them. Your mother probably thinks she's helping by trying to sway you off the Imperial March, but I think she's imagining something far more obvious and glaring that everyone will spot immediately, like you Macarena-ing down the aisle or crewing out the lyrics to Barbie Girl. If you're not performing a full lightsaber battle with your wedding party, complete with Darth Vader helmet, a lot of your guests probably won't spot you're entering to a song from Star Wars. They'll just know it's an acoustic song you're walking down to the aisle to. And if they find out later, they'll just say, it's so you. So what you really have to decide is, will the judgment of some snotty aunts you're only inviting out of politeness, or more accurately, the judgment you think they're making, make you self-conscious as you walk down the aisle? Will you feel confident as you stormtroop down to the Imperial March, or would a different song, even if it's not your first choice, make you walk with your head held a little higher? There's a lot of choice between a 400-year-old song and a film soundtrack. The Vitamin String Quartet put together string versions of nerdy cult songs like video game themes, songs from Labyrinth, and Nightmare Before Christmas, and yes, Star Wars. Orchestra pieces for film scores like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, or anything John Williams has ever made perfectly walk the line between tradition and personality. Or you could ask a pianist, harpist, or string trio to put a piece you love into their style. Most people will just hear a beautiful harp playing, but you and your friends will know the song is WAP. Good job, Phil. You got that right. That's not to say you shouldn't go with your first choice. It's important that you and your partner love the details of your day, but I promise you, other people won't remember them at all. They're not going to judge or even notice anything as much as you will. I will say about that answer that it reminds me of the time when we had people over for Thanksgiving, my second year of grad school, and we threw on a 40-minute version of the Star Wars Cantina theme. And the only comment we got was one girl saying, fancy jazz music.
There's a 40-minute version of that song. I really thought a 40-minute version would just be the little bit of that song that exists looping.
No, that's no, funny there's, that yeah, there's enough of it for it to kind of loop out a lot longer.
That's what I've always said about your cocktail parties, Adrian. Classy.
Any other comments?
I mean, it kind of hit the same points we did, yeah.
She even chose the same songs. All right, cool. Paul, let's get into your stuff.
All right, so I brought in the Weird Al from the mid-90s to like 2006, did a Q&A section on his website. So not quite an advice column, but I tried to pick advicey questions people asked him in the Q&A section. I'm trying to do parodies of my own. How do I get permission?
You don't need it. Do it without people's grace.
I mean, I guess, yeah, if you're not that famous yet and you like, they're obviously probably not going to respond to your fan mail. So I guess just do it. Yeah. Parody law covers you.
But what if they want to be classy like Weird Al? You know, he always asks.
You have to establish yourself as a parody artist. So you need to go out and start doing some parody songs of some.
Maybe you should make original music and then start parodying that music and see you get big.
Ooh. Okay.
And Weird Al's answer was, kids, don't try this at home. Leave it to the professionals. It's dangerous work. But if you insist, the best bet is to contact the publisher of the original music.
Good advice.
Yeah. Reach out to the people who made the music.
I guess you can always DM sense. Those people who made the music. And then if they don't respond, just make the song anyway and make the cover art of the single that Ooh, DM.
Your unread DM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But okay, we can move to the next question. That was pretty cut and dry. I'm very interested in becoming vegan, a vegetarian at least. Can you give me any advice? Weird Al, famous vegetarian. Or is he also vegan?
You know, I think he might be vegan.
That's a big get for the vegan community.
Yeah. If you're anything like me, who went vegetarian, was also big on cooking, and wasn't one of the vegetarians that just ate cheese pizza every day, get a good cutting board, get a good knife, because you're going to be doing a lot of chopping. Mm.
Get a mandolin.
Ooh, no, you're going to die if you use one of those. You're going to commit suicide if you... You're going to commit suicide if you do one of those.
And Adrian, is the proper way to use a mandolin to balance the fruit on your forehead? And
yeah. That's the fastest way to do it.
Yeah, I would say cook for yourself, except for like, yeah, because a lot of people would be like, yeah, I'm vegan, so I can eat a lot of things on the Taco Bell menu. And they're like, that's not healthy. That's not good vegan food. So yeah, just make stuff for yourself, you know?
Yeah, but you know, some people doing it for moral reasons.
I guess. I would say stuffed peppers and stuffed mushrooms were some of my favorite things when I was a vegetarian.
I'm going to be spending hours in the kitchen stuffing things. No, thank you.
Yeah, what kind of mushroom can you stuff?
I guess the mushroom little caps. Cap? Like I guess it was cap? The big caps, like the big mushrooms.
Portobellos.
Yeah.
Portobellos. Okay.
Honestly, with how meat prices are nowadays, save some money.
Oh, yeah. Salad wraps. That was like a big thing, right? Except for like, I guess you can still do tortilla wraps for tacos and burritos. That's vegan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are salad wraps? Is that lettuce?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Lettuce wraps is what I was thinking of. Yeah. Salad
I was like, I thought you meant like, well, just put a salad in a tortilla and then it's good. That's a good meal right there.
Yeah, I guess tortillas are a good one because a lot of bread has eggs, right? But not tortillas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, make your favorite foods and just substitute the ones like, you know what I mean? Like if you like wings a lot, I guess try cauliflower wings, you know?
It's just as good.
It reminds me of like when I got one of those vapes that didn't have nicotine in it, and I think it didn't have like any, it just had flavor and like air in it, you know? And I was just like ripping that thing, trying to get like a little buzz from it. Didn't help, but the cauliflower rings may help you if you like wings a lot.
I do like that. It's probably still not good to inhale those stupid little flavor particles, so you were probably killing some brain cells. You could probably rip it hard enough to get a little buzz.
No, they were actually really, really good for you.
Oh.
Yeah. Actually, they just did the research on that.
They just came out with the research paper on it. The guy who has no idea what he's talking about.
I saw a study the other day, actually.
9 out of 10 doctors said it was good.
And the other one said it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, we couldn't get a hold of the 10th doctor. That's why we couldn't get an answer from him. But
We played this game in improv today called Five Things, where someone gives you a setting or a location or something or a prompt, and you just have to name five things that are in the scene. It's supposed to help you, like, without really thinking, just think about what's in a scene. And the instructor gave me one that was in a science lab, And I didn't name anything that I used. I just went straight to chemistry. I was like, beaker, Bunsen burner, goggles. So I was like, I didn't use any of that shit.
Yeah. Adrian was like, cylinder, graduated cylinder.
Hey, good for him. He finished school.
Weird Al's advice, pretty basic here. He said, don't eat meat. The next question was, are you happy with what you've accomplished throughout your life, or do you wish to choose a different path? Adrian, Phil?
Are we answering for Weird Al, or are we answering for ourselves?
I'm very proud of Weird Al. I think he's done a great job.
I think he's done, yeah.
He said, sometimes no, I wish I had been a lumberjack.
That's not what it says. It says, sometimes I wish I had been a lumberjack. There's a pause.
Oh, yeah, there's an ellipsis. Some artists do not like to listen to themselves or see themselves on film. Does that pertain to you? Why or why not?
Do y'all listen back to the podcast after it drops? And y'all usually do, right?
Every damn time.
I do.
Damn. Do y'all ever find it cringy? Or when you first started doing it, did you find it cringe?
Yeah, I got used to it.
My voice for sure, but...
What about you? I know Christian doesn't listen to his own stuff, right?
No, he does. He watches all of his sets back, like any set that he does. He watches them all back. But that's how you get better as a comedian, because you just see anything, like, oh, I don't like this about me. Then you change it up.
Mm-hmm.
And Weird Al definitely does. Like, he was an artist. Like, I feel like he was definitely listening to his music, right? I don't feel like he had, like... Most artists must, right? It's when you're making music, you listen back and change it a ton before you put it out. Not like one take and you have the producer wrap it up and put it out. You must be listening to yourself a lot.
Yeah.
When it's talking about seeing yourself on film, I think he has released concert footage as well, too. Mm. Like the movie, not a movie, but like, you know, when you do like a film concert type thing.
Yeah.
Because I think his productions are pretty extravagant at this point. Should we pull up the most recent Weird Al CD and see what he covered?
Yeah, we can do that.
I remember in at Trader Joe's, they played the newest album from Weird Al, and he parodied that Robin Thicke song. What is it? Blurred Lines?
But it just
starts off with him just saying, everybody shut up. And I have no idea what the song's about, but I just remember hearing the
beginning. Oh, he hasn't put anything out since 2014, so no super recent.
Oh, that might be the album.
Mandatory Fun. Honestly, it would be kind of fun to, look at the track list and try to guess what.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But let's keep on going with these questions.
We're not playing that game?
Let's do Weird Al's answer before we get into that game. Whenever I do an album, video, or film, during the entire process, I'm looking for mistakes, weak points, and glitches. I'm never absolutely 100% happy with anything I do, but after a while, you just stop and declare something done. The problem with the whole process is, even after a project is finished, for a long time afterwards, all I can hear are the mistakes. It usually takes quite a while before I can really enjoy watching or listening to something that I've done.
That was a very earnest answer.
Hmm.
What kind of mistakes is Weird Al making?
He was like, I meant to say bad, not fat.
Yeah. Oh, shit. God. I meant to say like a virgin. That song makes no sense. Talking about surgery the whole time. I was supposed to be like a sturgeon.
Okay. Handy. What was that a parody of, Adrian? Phil?
Handy? Yep.
From 2014.
From 2014. A song Candy?
I want a handy.
Fancy by Iggy Azalea and Charlie XCX.
Fancy. I'm so handy. Watch me hit this hammer.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Foil.
Royals. Lord.
Oh, it was? Nice. Nice.
Oh, I thought that was going to be about fencing. It was about that, but no, it's about like tinfoil.
You got a lot to say about that. And we will never be foil.
Word crimes.
Blurred lines.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yep, and Pharrell was a writer on Word Crimes.
Wow.
That's cool.
Wait, is that double dipping to make money from both?
Mm. And Pharrell did not approve of the parody.
He was like, no way.
So he sued him too.
He triple dipped on it.
Inactive.
Triple dip.
This is one where it's not the same amount of syllables as the original song, so I'm like, I wonder how he made that fit into the song, but...
Something with active. Radioactive by is it Imagine Dragons?
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess.
Yeah.
Is that? Oh, hell yeah.
And I'm very inactive. inactive.
That's pretty funny. I need to go back and listen to this album. That's good.
I'm waking up. I stay in bed.
And we got Tacky.
Oh.
I'm going with Pharrell again. Is it Happy?
You guys are too good at this game. Phil, were you cheating? Did you look?
That's good.
No, that's good.
Is that it? There's only six songs?
There was more, but they were style parodies, so you wouldn't be able to tell from the name.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so they weren't like parodies on like
what was Polka song? Number five?
He has, now that's what I call Polka.
Yeah, he always does one of those. Mm.
Okay, yeah, y'all did weirdly good at that. I guess it's word, just, brother. That game really came down to what song name rhymes.
Well, it kind of also came down to what was on the radio when I still listened to the radio, or had to listen to the radio at my job or whatever.
I do remember an episode of Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Y'all remember that show?
Yeah, Move That Bus.
Move That Bus. I remember when they were like be redesigning the house, they would every now and then like do a video chat with the family or like a call and be like, hey, we're thinking about doing this to your house, you know? And they're like, oh yeah, that's cool, that's cool. So one of them, it was like, all right, so they're talking to the daughter. They're like, we know you like polka a lot. And she was like, I like polka dots. And he was like, oh, I thought you said polka. And then they panned a Weird Al playing an accordion. It was really funny. That's and she was funny. Like, no, I don't like polka. And then, of course, they gave her polka dots in the bedroom, and it was all cool.
Do you think somebody ever pitched something really specific hoping to get it? Like, I like big piles of cash.
It's something like a really specific.
I love $1 billion
type
thing.
I like big old boobies. Is there anything you can do with that?
I like fucking pussy type Bennington. Fucking pussy.
I'm really getting into like an Alexis Texas phase right now. What can you do for me?
It's like all, the whole family has normal answers, but the little shithead 7-year-old is like, yeah, I like titty fucking a lot, Ty Bennington. Can you make a bunk bed that, just, I don't know. I believe in you. I think let the artist do his art, you know.
Do whatever you need.
You know, Ty Bennington got a DUI at one point.
Whoa. Move That Bus.
Yeah, yep. He crashes it into the house.
Move That Bus. It just hits the bus.
What's the difference? Spencer from Albuquerque asks Weird Al, what's the difference between a lyrical adaptation, a parody, and a plain adaption?
Oh, this is a good... We should have started off with this question.
Oh, yeah.
And what
yeah.
about an interpolation?
Oh, an impression.
Mm.
Indication. Thugs.
Okay, and lyrical adaptation, a parody, and a plain adaptation.
A plain adaptation.
A plain adaptation.
A plain adaptation,
that's
is you doing a version of a song. Well, yeah, what's that?
I was going to say, that's
is
a
that
hot
a
air
Transformer?
Balloon.
What is that? Okay. I think Transformer's funny.
I think a plain adaptation is when, after they came out with that movie Cars, they came out with planes.
Mm. Oh, that's the best one.
I used to have a joke about that on stage. It never worked, but I think my whole take was like, so the plane couldn't fly? Like, why weren't any of the other planes were like, hey, what do you do? What's your thing?
Wait, you watched that movie? And that's what it's about? One of the planes can't fly?
One of the planes can't fly. Yeah, it was scared to fly.
Oh.
Mm, that's stupid.
It was scared to fly.
And then yeah. That's the plane that does 9/11?
Yeah. It's like, fuck this, man. I'm gonna crash
it. It had nothing to do with the people on board.
It's one of the...
Like, I hate it here, man. I don't want to be around anymore.
Weird Al's answer doesn't make sense to me. Boy, you got me there. For whatever reason, the lawyers for Don McLean and Puff Daddy insisted that we list my version of their songs as adaptations, not parodies. Hey, if it makes them happy.
Hmm. Mm.
I do like that Weird Al's that type of old man that uses too many ellipses in his writing. Why is that a type of person?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Don McLean was American Pie. That was the Star Wars song. What was the Puff Daddy song that he did?
Probably the one he had for Biggie's death. What was it called? I'll Remember You with Sting.
Oh,
yeah. No, that's the thing. You know what? Talking about adaptations, did y'all
that's
hear that?
A sample.
He did a sample of it, and there was like rumors that he had to pay Sting like $5,000 a day because he never got that sample cleared. And then they asked Sting on the Breakfast Club, he's like, is that true? He has to pay $5,000 a day. And he was like, yeah, he has to pay me $5,000 a day for this. I think that's so funny.
Do you think the parody for American Pie was about cream pie and a girl?
No, it was about Star Wars, like I said, but
I like your version of the metaphor. I like that.
Something to say, God for y'all.
And I say, My pussy was dry. Now it's all creamed up. From Weird Al sloppy ass cum. In good old boys.
Fucking titties and guys.
Saying this'll be the day that I die.
What was that song that was like, oh my cherry pie?
She's my cherry pie. She's my cherry pie.
I didn't pull out and hit green pie.
It's a parody artist who only does green pie songs.
All right. Yeah. Do y'all want to get into a third segment?
For sure. For sure.
All right. Third segment, we guess more Weird Al parodies.
Honestly, that might be better than the third segment that we did think of. Do y'all want to do that instead?
I don't know. I think based on that cream pie song, we're in a pretty good flow state right now.
Wait, okay. I think it will work better the other way. I give you the original song and you come up with the parody.
And then we say how we would... You know what? That makes sense.
Okay, so remember, we're going back in time. This album is from 2011, Apocalypse. Born This Way by Lady Gaga.
Porn This Way?
No.
He likes cream pie porn this way.
Born This Way. It might be corn. No.
Corn This... Like, he likes corn this way?
What's the original song? I don't remember how that sounds.
I was born this way. I was born this way.
Baby, I was born this way.
Yeah, I think corn this way sounds like a pretty... easy one.
I think you're going to change way too. I don't know. That
this is
hard.
Perform This Way.
Perform This Way.
Huh.
Okay. All right, Weirdo. All
right.
Okay, we got You Belong With Me by Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
You Belong Legs With Me?
Hit This Bong With Me.
Give some tongs to me. It's about
you
like
belong
buffet.
With tea. It's about someone who likes tea.
That is kind of the type of parodies Weird Al does. Sometimes it's not really a joke. It will just be just wrong.
Is this something with tongs? Like give tongs to me?
Oh, there are some really funny songs that aren't parodies. Like I'm remembering that one song that he has about how he's the dumbest guy alive, but he's a genius in France, which is just such a mean thing to say about French people. I love it.
That's really funny.
It's entertainment media.
Oh, you belong TNT?
TMZ.
Oh.
Yeah.
TMZ.
Party in the USA.
Parties in the USA?
Ooh.
No, wait. Hard D's in the USA.
Yeah.
Fart in my face.
Farting in the USA?
Party in the USA. Smarty in the US gay. Man, this is hard, man. This is why Weird Al got the
Wait,
big
Steve
bucks.
Harvey in the USA.
Party in the CIA.
Oh, that is good.
That's cool.
That's better than what I thought.
Little pizza party.
Okay. For a second, I realized the parameters are a little bit looser.
Whatever You Like by T.I.
Oh, you can have whatever you like.
Okay, that's what I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I think he just switched up the lyrics because his song is also called Whatever You Like.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Whatever you like.
But I assume it's going to be funny stuff. So what are the examples from that song that he could have done? Because it's like Patron. What he replaced Patron on Ice? What would the girl want?
Probably just complimentary items at like a hotel or something like that, as if he's buying her stuff, but it's like all free stuff. 90-day free trial.
Just tap water on ice.
Water on ice. Delta cookies.
You can have the biscuits you like.
Hey.
All right, we're going into Straight Outta Linwood. Ridin' by Chameleon Air.
I already know this one. I had this album, so I don't want to cheat.
No, it's White and Nerdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have a hoodie that said that. In 6th grade, 7th grade.
You had a hoodie that said White and Nerdy?
Yeah.
I think
these
one of
are so much more
wrong.
Famous. Like even I know the one for American Idiot.
Did y'all hear me?
What?
Tom.
He's being a little stinker.
Adrian hoodie said white and nerdy, and I think one of those things is wrong. Do y'all want to know which one it is?
I did have a concerned parent at a school once be like, "But you're not nerdy," and I was like, "Lady, I'm not white either. What are you talking about?"
She's like, I don't see color.
She ran
I don't
away.
See fucking dweebs either, so maybe you are one. I don't see little bitch ass kids either, so maybe you are nerd. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the words of the teacher was like, shouldn't that say Guatemalan and nerdy?
Shouldn't it say Guatemalan and virgin?
And virgin?
Seventh grade.
You say Guatemalan and virgin? Is that what
yeah.
What was the other? What was the next
one? Oh, American Idiot.
Oh, fuck.
Oh. Canadian Idiot?
Yeah.
That is what it is.
Yeah. I think I actually just did listen to this album all the way through. Thank you, Sean Sprott, by the way, for that.
The only kid I ever knew with a waterbed, because you told me that. It's so weird.
Oh, no. I mean, your girl, too.
So you're saying that, hold up, one, that my girl is a kid, and that you know that she has a waterbed. That's, okay. I guess we're both pedophiles in this joke. I shouldn't have brought it up.
I came out of that one looking good.
Yeah, Paul's in the clear right now.
I only Adrian do a podcast with two pedophiles.
That's yeah. The premise. I'm basically of the good to laugh.
All right, should we go into the third segment, part two?
Yeah, I found an article. I don't think I had to send it to y'all. I think I just named y'all the songs. But this article is just the top 10 songs of each year, and it goes down to 2006. So like, this is kind of an old article, but 2006, Rehab by Amy Winehouse. How can we? Oh, yeah, ooh. I guess I got to explain the third segment. So we're just going through popular songs and trying to think of a good parody title for a song, and then maybe do like the chorus, you know, workshop some stuff. But one of them is Rehab. Easy.
Okay, yeah, they tried to make me switch to decaf.
Nice.
They try to make me switch to decaf.
But that actually does work really well because it's like, oh, my drug's coffee.
Let's see. 2006, also another one was Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake. I'm bringing sexy back. Oh, I'm installing plexiglass. Hey.
That's pretty good. You'd have to do a lot of research on plexiglass, yeah, but that's a good one.
Something bringing like a rental back, like I'm gonna bring this rental back, or bringing something hurts back that kind of rhymes with sexy. Yeah. I'm bringing.
It's about your friends being hungry and you're a DoorDash driver. I'm bringing Wendy's bags.
Okay. How about this? Style. Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day.
Oh. No, Boulevard of Stolen Memes.
Damn, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. I surf this lonely web, the only web that I have ever checked.
Oh, Beautiful Things by Benson Boone. That'd be a fun one to do.
Oh.
Funeral Things? Oh, Cubicle. Oh. Cubicle Things. Things in your cubicle.
Please stay.
Stapler. I need you.
That's good.
Blinding Lights by The Weeknd.
Ooh. Fighting Mics.
Flying Kites.
Oh. Doom, doom, doo 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 doo.
I'm flying all these kites.
I'm in the kite runner. I hope nothing bad happens.
In one particular scene.
Ooh, what are those three boys doing down there on the other side of the alley?
Ooh, it's a group of kids. I'm sure they won't do anything. I want to do it so bad. I'm not going to say this song. Because this song, no, I can't. This is not that type of podcast.
Who's going to do it?
Let's see. Let's do 2000. Okay, let's do like college, like when we first got to college, 2013.
Oh, Asher Roth.
I love community college. Hey. Okay. Thrift Shop.
Okay.
By Matt.
Oh.
That already kind of reads as a parody song.
Gift Shop?
That's pretty good.
Bait Shop? Bait and Tackle Shop? Locked Out of Heaven by Bruno Mars.
Oh.
I'm locked out of 7-Eleven. I just became the manager.
Ooh. I've been clocked out at 7.
That's fire. I love that.
You make me feel like
I clocked out at 7.
And I started at 8.
Ooh, I know you were I knew you were trouble by Taylor Swift.
Oh, you can't parody Taylor Swift. It's too good. It's about knowing that they're the friends from the Flintstones. I knew you were rubble.
As a Halloween party, nobody knew who they were. Yeah. It was like, I knew you were rubble,
you were
when, you
rubble when
you
walked in.
Because I love the Flintstones.
Weird Al's finally going to come at mumble rappers on You Would Mumble.
Ooh, okay, okay. A little diss track. I like it. How about this? We Are Young by Fun. We Are Dumb Beatles.
Oh, that's an easy one. I was going to say We Aren't Young. Yeah, we aren't young. We aren't young. So I'm going to bed at 8 p.m.
That's perfect.
Oh, yeah, except for Set the World on Fire, be like, we are retired. And we're tired. Leave me alone. Let's see. Moves Like Jagger.
Ooh. Chutes and Ladders.
Damn, that's good. That's good. I was going to do something with Taffer, like John Taffer.
Oh, of course. I know where your brain's working.
I got the moves like Taffer.
Taffer, I got to shut it down.
Shut it down.
Shut it down. I got that Chutes and Ladders.
Someone Like You by Adele.
Oh.
No One Likes You?
No One Likes You.
Never mind, I'll find no one likes you.
How about Someone's Type 2? Type 2 diabetic.
Someone's Type 2. That's kind of funny. I wish nothing but the best
for you.
Don't forget your medicine. Oh, babe. We good for a big fact, no cap, boys.
Yeah. My big fact is whatever you want to do at your wedding, you should do it. Whether that involve having parody songs or traditional songs for yourself, the ring boy or ring girl that Adrian brought to the wedding, or the beer boys.
Big fact. When it comes to parody music, leave it to the professionals. It's dangerous for y'all out here.
Ooh, damn. My no cap is one of the best times and contexts to do parody music is when you're singing to an animal and you make the song about them. I like doing that a lot.